and welcome to the Health Services Division podcast series. I'm your host today, Laura Franco, Vice President, Director of Post-Acute Regulatory Strategy. We are live from the DON conference in Santa Cruz, California today, and I am here with my colleagues, Blake Gilman, Susan Altman, and Meredith Mall. We are also joined by a panel of prestigious DONs from around the country. So first, we would like to welcome Cesar Osorio, the DON at the Claire in Chicago, Illinois, Crystal Nelson, the DON at Friendship Village Kalamazoo in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Gloria Heimlich from The Forum. She's the DON there, and The Forum is in Cupertino, California. Dolores Cook, the DON from Sinai Residence in Boca Raton, Florida, very close to where I am. And then finally, Kevin Glue, the DON at Westminster in Austin, Texas. So welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. So I'd like to start out by asking Cesar the first question. So we had a jam-packed day today full of presentations and some work groups. So I would like to talk to you about your thoughts on the presentation from the Navigator and just kind of, what did you find important today? Did you have any aha moment? And is there anything you think that you can take back to your community from that presentation?
I thought we had a great opportunity to learn more about the Navigator program today and the Navigator nurse in general. We had an opportunity to work in groups and learn from each other, both from communities that do not have Navigator nurses and from communities that do have that program. One really big takeaway that I got from here was the presentation from Susan Altman, The wellness navigator is a big part of the 8 dimensions of wellness from LCS. And that really includes 5 big principles such as care management, care coordination, data collection through measuring metrics that matter, value proposition, and resident satisfaction. I believe that most of the Navigator programs have been, some Navigator programs have been rolled out in several states, but I see a great value in implementing such programs in every LCS community.
This is Dolores from Sinai Residences. Cesar, I can totally relate to what you just said. I've had the opportunity of being a Navigator as well as a health residential health service. I started up in Boca Raton as a brand new community, so therefore I was hired as a director of nursing, but had to play those roles as well. There's a lot of opportunities that I do see that I could take back to my community, as well as knowing that I didn't get that 8 weeks training, and I can implement that when I get back, as well as I had passed that on to a new employee that started and took that role over. So with the Navigator program, what we discovered is that Health at Home hired the Navigator and Sinai hired the nurse, which is the roles were reversed. The Navigator was a social worker, which was a nurse, and then the Health at Home was a social worker. So as starting up at Sinai, we realized that that didn't work, because when the social worker had to make house calls and answer the calls, emergency calls, it just wasn't effective, because the Navigator would still have to go up after the social worker, which didn't make sense. So we switched those roles, and it's now working out where Sinai Residences have hired the residential health as an RN who answers the calls, and the Navigator is a social worker who goes out. So that program right now is pretty effective, but there's still a lot of things that we can add to that as well.
That's great information, Dolores. Thank you for sharing. This is Susan, and I'll be more than happy to work with either one of you. And now Tony Galvan is the life plan face of the Navigator. So I will definitely hook you up and get you all the resources that either one of you need. So this is Susan again, and I'm going to go across the table to Kevin and ask Kevin, what were your takeaways on the presentation on heartfelt connections today?
At Westminster, we had started a program very similar to Heartfelt Connections, but when I'm looking at this, it was basically designed only for our memory support unit. The neat thing about the Heartfelt Connections is that this is designed for the whole of the community. It's not just our memory support. There's people in our AL that could use this program, people in our IL that could use this, and people in our skilled nursing. When we talk about this, we've always said it's not just the memory unit that has people that have dementia and that we need to talk with them. We need to work with them as well.
That's great. Thank you very much, Kevin. I'll turn it over to Meredith to continue.
Thank you, Susan. I want to address this question here to Crystal. We spent a lot of time today talking about best practices, and I think that's a conversation and a topic that we've discussed from a corporate level a lot. How do we develop best practices and standards? Where do we put them so that the field can access them? We do realize that there is a need. So we had a work session today called Good, Better, Best. And we broke out into groups, taking the brightest minds in the room, which are our director of nursing role, and asked them to help formulate some best practices and standards as it relates to things that we do in our communities every day. So talk to me a little bit, Crystal, about the best practice that you feel that you took from the presentations that happened today that you could implement as soon as you got back to your community. What was the one that stood out to you the most or your favorite?
Well, we were discussing the final rule and that mega rule that's mammoth to every community. I have read this mega rule so many times and have interpreted it so many different ways through different communities and associations. But today we were rock stars. And we conquered it, and with the help of Laura here, we got to go through and repeat that first phase and reinforce what we should be doing and go back to our communities and go forward with it. And also, we were also accomplished the phase two. We even accomplished a time frame and a reasonable fashion to make it happen, to get it rolling again by that great date of November 28th.
Boy, you guys really rolled up your sleeves. Those are tools that the entire company can use.
Oh, definitely. No doubt. They're for sale. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Crystal, thank you. And you're right. You guys really spawned an idea so that I can take back and further develop these and bring these to the entire company. So it was a really good, it was good participation and invaluable input. So thank you to the whole team on that one. So, next I would like to, ask Gloria a question because we had a very heartwarming and very important session today on emergency preparedness. And unfortunately, I think it hits very close to home at the forum in the last couple of weeks. So I'd like to just talk to you about that presentation and what your takeaways were from that.
Thank you. This is Gloria. You can never really be too prepared for emergency preparedness. From listening to all the DONs today that told their experiences, we realize that the training that we get from LCS of putting a binder together and being ready for those emergent situations is just so important. Our recent incident at work where we had a water main break, we have set in place a call system so that all, as many people as possible will be called and they can come back. They'll be hands on deck to be right there to help our residents. It's a very important thing. It's very important to keep the telephone numbers handy of who you call for the special things because there are many things that will happen at a community where you only are you going to be there, but you need to know who to call to come out to fix all the things that break that are not the usual situation. So there's so many things for emergency preparedness. Never put that off and do it as many times as we need to.
Hi, this is Susan again. So we had a couple of sessions on leadership today. I know we had one of the work groups who did an excellent presentation back to the group on leadership. And then Kim Domini from Casa de las Campanas came and did a great leadership session. So I would just like to pose a question to the entire group and get your comments because leadership seemed to be a pretty big issue and topic today. Anybody want to go first?
So we discussed today what does it mean to be a great leader and the components of being a good leader. And something that we discuss, five principles of leadership by John Maxwell, level one position, doesn't make you a leader. Level two, permission, forming relationships, listen while observe, learn, and attitude of serving. Level three, productions, you attract who you are. Level four, people development level, place people in the right place. And level five, principal level, lifetime journey.
And if I may add to that, I thought getting the perspective, both from the director of nursing work group at the earlier presentation and from hearing from an executive director, getting that same perspective, my takeaway was that being a great leader, a great role model, is taking your group, your team, not just to one vision or to things that you've done before, but rather taking them to uncharted territories, elevating your achievements and bringing people along with you. So it all ties back to empowering the people that work under you or with you, and bringing your whole community along as you achieve greater heights.
Not only that, but it was encouraging that you were on the right track with the things you'd learned about leadership to begin with, but at the same time, you gain new perspective on different types of leadership styles and how sometimes it isn't just one style, but you've got to use them all at once.
Great point, Kevin.
And also I'd like to add, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You think you're a little bit trying to help your team and your crowd there, but you make mistakes as well, and you learn from it as well as the team. And also, to also learn about being, have a self-assessment of yourself. It'll be a great time to go back on the airplane and have a couple more days off to self-reflect and see what I can be doing differently.
That's a very interesting perspective. We had a lot of dialogue today about how difficult a position it is to be a CNA, and why it is so important to have really strong DON leadership. Oftentimes we discuss that a lot of folks in the CNA position have difficulty with some of the duties that they have. Some feel that they're just there to collect a paycheck. And how does a DON as a leader convert some of those folks that maybe don't have the attitude that we would want them to have in our homes and working with our residents? And how do you convert that person? We talked a lot about leading by example and creating a culture of thank yous and respect. Do you all have a leadership style or something that you all can talk about or reflect on when it comes to working with some of those CNAs or nurses that don't necessarily exemplify what you would want in a staff position?
What have worked for me, I get to the level where the CNA is. I help my staff. I'm on the floor. I let them know that I am not good enough to, you know, I'm not too good to do what you're doing. If they need help, whatever they need help in, I pass trays. I assist in a resident going to the bathroom. I answer call lights. So I lead by example and I let them feel comfortable, and it empowers them. And they'll let you know, Dolores is always willing to help no matter, you know, they look at me, you shouldn't be doing this. No, it's my job. We're here for one, you know, for the residents, and we're one team. So that makes me feel good, and they feel good about that.
Dolores, you hit a really good point in emphasizing the fact that we are all one team. And I do tell my nurses and my CNAs that almost at the point of care, whenever I receive feedback, good or bad, from residents or families, I make it a point to tell them right away, because then we can reinforce positive behaviors and as well as and bad behaviors. What we do at the Claire is a mentor-mentee program for new CNAs and new nurses. There is some monetary reward to it, but it, I think at best, is that it makes people comfortable working together, even with that one person assigned to you as your mentor and your mentee. And it's a 60-day program. It really avoids someone from being isolated as a new employee, especially even as a new CNA without experience. So I think those kinds of programs do provide some value.
I like to mention, too, that it's so important for us to take the time to listen to our staff members, let them come in at any time that they need to talk to us, not just at appointed times, not just after four. The door is always open for them to come in so that we can help them because they help our residents all the time.
So you all made some really good points about leadership today. And, you know, I just like to share one of my observations sitting in the back of the room and looking at a group of wonderful leaders at LCS, in LCS communities, but how attentive you were and open you were to learning more and working together to increase your leadership skills to become a better leader, to guide your staff in your community. So that was an observation from the back of the room. So I think that's all our time today. So I would like to thank you all. And I can't believe this is the end of day three of the DON conference, but we'll be here again tomorrow. So we'll see you all then. Bye.
Legal disclaimer. LifeCare Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.